I think the person who can travel solo, it's a different type of person. And then I was like, you know what, fuck it. I don't even need a guy on this fucking holiday. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is my opportunity to go. Mm-hmm. It wasn't so scary as I thought it was. The first days were just surviving. I can tell you a moment where I was like completely terrified. Welcome to From Lisbon with Love, a podcast about real stories of love, laughter, and life in Lisbon. From women who have left it all behind.
The podcast where we share real stories about moving to Lisbon, starting over and figuring life out along the way.
We talk love, dating, friendships, breakups, healing, growing, all of it.
Basically, the stuff we usually talk about over coffee or vino.
If you're thinking about moving abroad, already here, or just love honest conversations with heart, you're in the right place.
This is From Lisbon with Love.
Hello and welcome back. I am April Betts.
I'm Anna Shirina.
And this is From Lisbon with Love. In this episode, we are going to be discussing solo travel and how that can support you in your move abroad. Mm-hmm. We're going to dive deep. We're going to discuss what it was like for us as we solo traveled before moving abroad. And remember to like, share, and subscribe. And remember to rate us on Spotify and other podcast platforms where you listen to us. That will support us so much.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, guys, let's get into it. I'm really excited about this
episode. I know.
Because solo travel for me was the opening of like everything mm-hmm. for me. Like it changed me so much.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, let's get into the first question. Okay.
There we go.
Yes. When did you first go on your first solo trip? Mm-hmm. And was there a specific reason for it? And where did you go?
Yeah, I think this is not going to be a surprise for anyone who's following the podcast for a while.
I think I know where this is going.
Because my first solo trip was to Lisbon. What a surprise. Yeah, it's actually funny because I visited Lisbon before, like with other people, mm-hmm. and like solo traveling was already on my list for like a long time, but I just didn't really know where to go. And also it was the first time, so I wasn't sure if I would like it, and I didn't know what to expect. And
what made you choose Lisbon?
That's what I'm going to explain.
Oh, sorry.
Don't be so impatient. Don't be an Aries, please.
I'm like, get to it now.
I know. Because I've been to Lisbon before with other people, so I knew already the city. So I was like, okay, I think this is a good start for like the first solo trip, to go to a place that you already know. Mm-hmm. You've been before, you know already that you like the place. Mm-hmm. So that made me feel more secure to take like the step. Mm-hmm. To go on my first solo trip, and I only went for 4 or 5 days just to try it out and see what it was like. I think it was also the first time that I booked an Airbnb, because normally if I go on trips with other people, you most likely stay in like an apartment or book like a hotel or something. Mm-hmm. So that was also my first Airbnb experience, and it was in Beirut.
Oh, Jesus. For those of you who know about Lisbon and Barrio Alto, you know that you would not want to stay there for unless you're just trying to party 24/7.
Literally. But I was very lucky because mine was a bit like outside. It was not like in the heart
of
exactly
the party scene.
And it's actually funny because that place was like so silent. It's even more silent than the place where I live right now
during the day.
No, at night.
Oh,
too.
At night.
Yeah, because I stayed not in like the center. It was a bit like around.
Okay.
And I think also, maybe it depended also on the, I mean, there were multiple rooms. It was a shared Airbnb and I had my room at the back of the house. So I think also it was kind of like an alley or just a silent corner. I didn't really have like a street next to it. So I think I was also very lucky with like the location. And the reason that I went was that I just wanted to try it out and see if it was something for me. And also, I just came out of a relationship. Well, not just, it was like already months, but I was like still recovering because it was like a toxic relationship. It was really heavy. So also for me, it was something to kind of gain more confidence. And I just wanted
to find yourself again.
Yeah, exactly. Like it also had like a deeper meaning for me. So yeah, that was my first experience. Yeah. How about you? Nice.
Ooh, okay, so my first experience, I've always wanted to travel to Europe, but I was always waiting for other people to join. And if I continued to wait, I would have been waiting forever. So I was taking some extracurricular classes at this community college because it was cheaper to go to the community college to take the class. So I was taking like guitar lessons and I took like yoga and I took like swimming.
Oh, nice.
I like took all these like, because I already had my degree. So, but you could go to the community college and pay only like $20 for like for credit. It was something super cheap.
But like monthly or?
No, for the semester.
Oh,
yeah.
That's no idea.
So I took these, I was like, let me take some fun classes. So I was in a guitar class and then the professor had came in. And he was saying, we do this study abroad program where we go to the UK, France, and Spain. We go for 3 weeks and everything's included in the whole package. And then you basically have to go to classes in each country. So I was like, this is my opportunity to go because If I wait forever, I'm never going to go. So I was like, I'm going to go. And then I had just like booked a commercial. So I had the money to pay for it.
Oh, nice.
So I literally took all the money that I made from the commercial. And I paid for this study abroad program. And then we went, it was like in July. And we went and we went to the UK first. We went to, and then we went to Paris. And then we went to Madrid. And it was such an amazing experience. It was, I was with 45 other people that I had never met. And we all like had our own like hotel room. I had to share a hotel room with someone else. And it was such a great experience because I like, I got to meet all these people that I had never met before. And I was like going to all these new countries and like seeing everything different. Everything was like completely different and I was like I fell in love, like I literally fell in love, like at first because UK was, we went to London first and that was the first place and I was like, oh my god, I love it here. And I really liked London and I was like, this is so cool. And then when I went to Paris, I was like, it's very pretty, but I didn't really care for the people. And then when I went to Spain, I was like, oh, I like it here too, but I don't know, I, it was just like a sense of like, oh, I was like, I could do this on my own because I started talking to other people and there was someone else in the group had told me like, oh, I'm going to keep going after we're done here. I'm going to go to Italy. And I was like, you're going by yourself? And she's like, yeah. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to be staying in hostels. And I was like, really? What? And I was like, oh my gosh. So she was telling me all this stuff and I was like, bet. So as soon as I got back home, I would start researching. I was like, da, 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 da. And I was like, okay. I was like, where's my next trip? Because I'm going by myself.
That's so cool.
So that was my first experience. It was amazing. And it literally was the start of me just going everywhere.
That's amazing. How long was the trip in total?
It was 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
And it was so cool because we got to go to the different universities. I went to a university in London. And in Madrid, where we had to go to classes. And because, like, I already had my degree and I wasn't going for the classes, like, sometimes I'd be like, psh, I'm not going.
You're going for the fun.
I was just going for the fun. So all the other kids, they, like, were trying to
study
study because they had to get their degree. And I was like 10 years older than everybody, and everyone thought I was their age.
But that's how it still is, right?
I know. I know. But it was so funny because I was like, I don't need to go to class. Like, I don't need this class
or
this letter, this grade.
Exactly.
I'm like, I already have my degree, so I'm good. You guys go to class. I'll see you when you get back. But it was fun, though. I did go to some, but some I did not go to.
That's so cool. And the other people, were they from like all over the world or?
No, they're from California.
Oh, they're all from California.
Yeah, they were going to the community college where I was taking the guitar class.
Oh,
so it was just.
But you didn't know them, you said, right?
I didn't know them, no. Because it was over the whole community college, they like put out like a bulletin, and whoever wanted to go on the study abroad program, you could go, and it could be credit for whatever.
Oh.
Towards whatever degree you're going towards.
Okay.
But I didn't need any of that. I just wanted to go on the trip.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go with like a group because this was my first time going to Europe. So I was like, this is the perfect opportunity. I don't know anyone, but I'll get to know them. And, you know, I made a bunch of friends and it was so much fun.
That's so cool.
I know.
That's a great way also to start, I feel.
Yeah. Oh my God. That was the best way to start because after that... You guys never saw me again because I was like, where? There was like, you know, they like, where's Waldo? It was like, where's April?
She's on a trip solo.
Yes, that was me.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. What are some misconceptions about solo traveling? Because I feel like there are many.
I would say this, everyone, the misconceptions when it comes to hostels is huge.
Mm.
Like, everyone was like deterring me from staying in hostels, but the majority of the solo travel that I did, I stayed in hostels. And it was the best experience that I've ever had, so much so that I wanted to open my own hostel.
Mm.
Yeah, because it's the perfect place to go, especially when you're solo traveling by yourself, because everyone else at the hostel is by themselves.
True.
So it's like you immediately have a family because as soon as you go in, they have like all these different events for you to meet people. And of course, everybody has like the pub crawl or the walking tour. But it's like no one knows anyone. So no one can like be clicky and be like, oh, I'm just hanging out with my friends. It's like everybody's like, hey, how are you? Like, hey. So it's like you have immediate friends in a matter of like hours. And it's such an amazing experience. And how the hostels like set everything up, it's just like it's really nice. And I stayed in some hostels that I was like, is this a hostel? Because this looks like a really nice hotel. When I was in Italy, I was like, what the, like, this is nicer than some hotels I've stayed at.
Some are really fancy, right, with a pool and just like super,
it's like really nice. And of course, like, everyone back in the States was like, don't stay at a hostel. Have you seen that movie Hostel? And I was like, no, I'm not watching that movie. Are you kidding me? Absolutely not. But everyone, of course, was scared. And they're like, don't do it. And I was like, I'm doing it.
But were they talking about their own experience? Or just experience of what they've heard
and watching the movie?
It's always these stories like, I've heard...
They would tell me all these scary stories and things like that, but I was like, no, I'm gonna do it. And Italy was actually the first trip where I went solo by myself, and I was there for a month, and I literally went up and down all of Italy. And the first hostel that I stayed at was, so they have hostels where it's like a mixed dorm, and then they have it where you can just get like just a female only room, and you can decide like if you want to stay, depending on what your budget is, you can stay in a room where there's like 10 people or more, or you can stay in a room, you can also get a private room as well, but the budget obviously changes. But in the first hostel I stayed in, they didn't have any female only dorm, so I had to get a mixed dorm. And and this was the first time, and when I got there, I was the only female in the room.
And that was your first experience?
That was my first experience at a hostel, and I was like, oh, fuck.
You were going all in.
I was gone all in, and, like, all of the guys were, like, Irish. And there was one American guy, and he was from the military. So like me and him like were a little became a little close and was talking. So I felt like he was like could be my little protector just in case if I needed to. But it was so funny, the guys, the Irish guys, they were just like just trying to get wasted. That's all they wanted to do and party and have a good time. But it was just like I was like a little terrified at first. I was like, oh shit.
You entered the room, you were like, hey guys.
I know. So yeah, that was my first experience in a hostel. Wow. But I had so much fun. And then I just like bounced around to different hostels and I don't know, it was so much fun. It was really nice. But it's I would amazing. Say a big misconception is don't stay at hostels, which is a complete lie. Do it. It's amazing. You're going to have so much fun. Even if you are coming with friends, like still go to a hostel. Like you guys can get a room just for yourself. And just the atmosphere is just, it's really nice. It'll totally completely change your whole trip. Because if you really think about it, when traveling, it's about the people you meet more than what you see. So
well, it depends. But...
I mean, yes, but what's going to stick with you the most are the relationships that you make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
What about you? What misconceptions do you think about solo traveling that you hear the most?
I think most people, whenever I talk about solo traveling, they say... Oh, that's like so boring to go alone, you know? Because maybe they also think that if you go somewhere, you don't meet people or something. Like you say, in a hostel, it obviously goes a lot faster to meet people. But I think most people think if they go alone on a trip, then they are there alone. But there's always an opportunity, of course, to meet people if you want to. And I also hear a lot people saying... Oh, that's really not something for me. Although they've never tried it. But I feel like with anything in life, you can kind of find a way to make it something for you, you know? Because there's so many ways to do it. And for example, if you don't like to go to hostels, you don't have to do that. If you don't want to go like backpacking, packing light, whatever, take your suitcase. You know, if you don't like to fly super far, go to a destination close. And if you want to be there alone, not talk to people, you're also fine to do that. So I feel like with solo traveling, people have this image of you go alone, it's boring, you've no one to talk to, you've nothing to do all day. But that's just not true, because you can just fill in your own calendar. You can make your own plans and you're literally the boss of everything. So you can make it fun for yourself.
I think everyone should do a solo trip by themselves at least once. Like, you don't even have to go out of the country. Just go to another city. And just go by yourself. It's like the most rewarding and the most like life-changing. And I feel like you grow so much because you kind of get to know who you are even more. And that's the whole point. Like, you need to know who you are. If you know who you are, no one can ever tell you anything different. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And also, if you go and you find out maybe it's not for you, then maybe it's not for you. Let's say you go backpacking on your own. You don't like it. Then, of course, you can say, oh, yeah, solo traveling is not for me. But after that, you can try another form of solo traveling.
Maybe the backpacking wasn't for
you. Exactly. Yeah. Maybe you like to go on a city trip alone or to like...
Do like luxury.
Yeah. Or go to a beachy place or whatever. So I feel like there's always an option that fits you.
Absolutely. There's so many options.
What do you think is the biggest difference between solo traveling for men and for women?
That's a big one. I feel solo traveling for men, I feel like, is a lot easier in regards to safety. I feel like men don't have to think about as many things as a woman would have to think about. For a woman, you know, our biggest fear is being sexually assaulted. So, and when you're alone, you are more vulnerable. And one thing that you have to do when you are traveling solo is to like always be completely aware of your surroundings. And if I knew I wanted to go somewhere, I would look at the map beforehand and memorize like the route and the streets and everything. And then I would just go and just act like I live there and I know where I'm going, because then people won't bother you. But if you're like looking at them, like doing all of this, like
you're in
predators are like, that one.
Seriously.
Yeah. So those are just some steps that I've done solo traveling. But I think as a female, you're thinking on a whole other level as a regards to men. Like they're just like, maybe someone might try and pickpocket me, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But we have to think about that and other things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What about for you? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I absolutely like 100% agree with what you said in regards to safety. And I'm actually curious also, like, how is like the percentage of men traveling solo and females traveling solo? Because
I feel like it might be more women, actually.
I know, but that's maybe because we are women and that's like the content that we see and like the stories that we hear. So if you're like guy listening and you're going on solo trips, let us know in the comments, because I really do feel it's mostly female, but we can be wrong.
Yeah,
it's just
wrong.
Our perception and what we hear. Because it's funny, whenever I speak about solo traveling with guys, they're always like, no, I don't like that, or I don't want to go. And I'm like, but seriously, guys, they don't have any worries when it comes to that. It's like, there's literally nothing holding them back to go.
Maybe maybe those type of men who say no, maybe they need to have like their friends, their buds, their guys to be with them, to like support them. I don't know. But I mean, there's... Yeah, I don't know.
I know, but it's so funny that like women, like you say, are naturally in a more vulnerable position when traveling solo. But I feel like there's so many females that be like, I'm just gonna go. And I don't know, I feel like,
fuck it.
We're so bold, right? It's so funny, actually.
Yeah. But there are, like, when I was traveling solo, there were a lot of men who were traveling solo as well.
Yeah.
But I think I think the person who can travel solo, it's a different type of person.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different type of person who can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody can do it. And I think male or female, you're a little different.
It's true. And maybe if it is true that there's more females, then it also makes sense, because I feel like in general, females spend more time on like self-growth and self-development and things like that. Mm-hmm. So maybe they are also more likely to take that step just to get out of their comfort zone and grow. And so maybe that could be the reason behind it. But yeah, it's an interesting...
That's a good, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Men be like, I don't need therapy. Yes, you do. Sorry, not sorry.
Okay, let's go to the next one. What was your most memorable solo travel experience?
Ooh. I think there's multiple, as always. But if I have to pick one, I think it's me going on a Tinder date in another country. Because I was never the type of person that would go on dating apps. And I was also not the type of person that would go on a solo trip. And then I was going on a solo trip and I went on a Tinder date. So that was like far out of my comfort zone. And maybe it was also, I think it was also the first time that I dated like a not Dutch speaking person. So that was another thing to add to the list. And before, Hannah was a bit scared, like going on a date in another country and not having like my safety network like close, like who could I call if anything would go wrong, or what if I felt unsafe, you know, all these things. And then I just decided to go. I spoke about it with my friends and they were all like, you know, you only live once, you're young, you should just go, check it out. Just try to meet him during the day, and you know, what can go wrong? Just meet in a public place, of course. So I decided to do that. And it wasn't so scary as I thought. It was just it all flowed. It all was like super natural. And we just went to eat something. And it was just, yeah, like you would go on a date in any other place. But in my head, it was such a big thing to do it in another country or something. So, yeah, that was one of the most memorable ones for me because it was actually nice. And even we stayed in touch after that, which I didn't expect because I was there just on a trip. So imagine like that happening on a solo trip. That was like, I could never see myself doing that. So
that's interesting. Yeah.
How about you? Because you've been on, I feel like, you've traveled more than I did, maybe solo and also like further out. So
So I would say my most memorable, the one that touches my heart the most, would be when I went to Africa. I went to Kenya and I was there for 2 weeks and I went to volunteer at a school. And it was such an interesting experience because the school was outside the city in this like small little village, and the floor at the school was like covered in dirt and like, and you had like an outhouse where you had to go to the bathroom and everything. It was like a hole in the ground and it's just all these things. And then the kids were just like so amazing and the kids were just like so like happy. And it was just so interesting to see because like, when I showed up, they were all staring at me like so weird, like they had never seen someone that looked like me or something. I'm like, what? I'm like, this is weird. And they like were touching my hair. And I'm like, I have the same hair as you. Like, I don't understand. But they were just like, they all just like rushed. I have a video, actually, but they all like rushed us. And then they were just like, it was just so interesting to see. They were just like so happy to see us and like the fact that we were foreigners and we came to like this little village to help them in their school. And I don't know, it was such an amazing experience. And then I got to teach them, we would read books to them and do all these different fun games. And then this was the first time I ever like, so as solo traveling, I brought so much luggage because I brought all of these supplies and things for the kids to give to them. So I brought like 3 huge luggages full of supplies and like coloring and like all the Play-Doh and like all this stuff just to give to them. So they were like so happy. And I don't know, it was just, it was so much fun. It was a really amazing experience. And I wonder what those kids are doing now. They're probably like grown now, like so big because kids grow so fast.
But
now,
how long ago was this?
This was 2018.
Oh yeah. So it's been a while.
Yeah. But it was just like, I don't know, it really touched my heart. Yeah. Those little kids.
How long were you there?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Oh, yeah. You said that already.
Yeah.
But I was so immersed in the story that
And then that was the first time I went on a safari.
Oh.
And it was an overnight safari where we actually, like, slept in a tent. And I was, like, a little freaked out because I was with friends that we were volunteering together. And, the tent was actually really nice and it had a bed and everything. But, and I don't know, but I was like, I'm out in the wilderness. Anything could happen, and you know. But yeah, it was so funny. I had like a little like lock that I would use for my luggage, and I was like, "Ladies, I'm gonna lock us in when we went to bed," because it was like a little zipper where I could like lock it. I was like, "Guys, I'm locking us in, so if you need to go to the bathroom, do it now," so I could like fully like sleep and be comfortable. So I was like, "They can't get in, and if they do try and get in, I'm gonna hear it."
That's actually really smart.
Yeah.
So funny.
But yeah, that whole experience, I would say, would be the most the most memorable.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Have you been to Africa more than that one
time? That was my first time.
And the only time?
That was the only time. And that was my first and only. And then when I got there, I was like, oh my God. I was like, I'm in the motherland. And I was like, hi guys. I was like super like, hey, hi.
I could just see you walking there, like, how I know you, like, just checking everything, being like so curious. Gosh,
yes. So cute. I was like, oh my god, I'm in Africa.
That's super cool.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Aw, What was your saddest solo travel moment?
Well, I can tell you a moment where I was like completely terrified. I was in Brazil, and I went for Carnival, and they had shut down the metro, and they weren't allowing any more people in.
Okay.
And what I thought was so interesting about the Brazilian people, they said, fuck you. We don't care. And we're going to go anyway. And I was like, what? So it was like all of these people who were no longer able to get on the metro, and they just started to push at the gate. They were pushing at the gate. And I was with a friend, and we were like, oh shit. He's like, he grabbed my hand and he was like, hold on. And they like literally everybody was pushing at the gate, and the gate just like popped open.
But you mean with gate like what we also have here in Lisbon with the
like
metro station?
Like those thick metal gates.
Uh-huh.
That they closed it.
Yeah.
And they just like fucking pushed it open.
But were the metros like still running? Because it was...
They were still running.
Oh, but you just couldn't enter.
They didn't want people to enter anymore at that stop.
Okay. Yeah.
And there were security people just standing there. They were just like,
what can we do?
And I was just like, and we were being so squished, and I was like, oh shit, what is happening? And we're like, ugh. And then they busted open, and then everybody just like just kept walking like it was nothing.
What the hell?
And I was like, what the fuck just happened?
That's scary.
Yeah, we just went with them and got on the metro.
Really? Yeah. Oh my god.
We were already in the mix. So there was nothing we could do. We just like try not to lose each other.
Yeah. I mean, you can't go back if everybody's pushing.
No.
Ooh, that's so scary.
So that was like a little scary.
Yeah, because it's also like underground, and it's like that really would trigger my anxiety, like,
oh,
a lot.
Yes. Yeah. But it just showed me, like, the strength of the people. And, like, they're just like...
Yeah, but also it's a bit crazy.
That was, yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
It was an experience.
For sure.
Yeah. What about you? Do you have, like, a sad moment?
Yeah, I think for me, the saddest moment was when I was not really planning on going solo, but I had to go solo.
Oh.
Because I had booked like a trip to Greece, to one of the Greek islands. It's called Karpathos. I don't know how to say it in English. But I was supposed to go there with my ex-boyfriend. And then 1 week before we were supposed to go... he cheated on me and we broke up. So that whole holiday that was planned out for like months, I had to go alone, or I could just cancel the whole thing. But we already paid and everything was like settled. So I was like, okay, you ruined already my life. So you're not going to ruin my vacation, my only vacation of the year. So unintentionally, I went on that trip alone, and that was actually crazy because it was like really like hotel vibes with like
romantic
couples and like there was literally no one alone because it's just not the setting to go alone. It was also booked. We booked it through like, I don't know, just like some travel agency that's only for like families or couples, and it's not really common to book something alone. I think they don't even offer that. So I did feel like really strange there and like a bit like misplaced because I was like heartbroken and I was on a holiday alone, which was supposed to be for like couples. And what made it even worse was that I had to eat there every day alone, like breakfast and dinner, because we had
all inclusive,
not all inclusive, but like breakfast, dinner. So basically almost everything was included, and we already paid it, and also we booked a place that was not super close to a town because we just wanted to spend there and then rent a car and go to places. But yeah, everything changed when I was there alone, because then I was like, yeah, now I have to eat here alone. I don't want to eat here alone, but I have to. So I tried to, the first days were just surviving. And what made it even worse was that there was like this super lovely gay couple that I kind of became friends with. And then the waitress would always put me on the table with them.
Aww.
And I felt so bad because they didn't even invite me. It was just, I think, just the Greek warmth of that lady. And she
didn't
was
want
like,
you to be by yourself.
Exactly. And she was just like waving at me and like pointing to the table with the gay couple. And they were also like, yeah, what can we do? So I did feel like so bad about it.
Every time you had dinner, you had to...
Almost every time, she would just place me on the table with these men.
Oh my gosh. So they never got their private dinner?
Seriously? They never got like their couple holiday because I was just there, some kind of their pet or something. I don't know what I was, but...
Oh my gosh. So what do you feel like you learned from that trip?
I hope this will never happen again, obviously. But I don't regret it. If I have the opportunity now, I would still go, no matter what. Because I did feel after the first days passed and I was like heartbroken and like it was literally surviving while I was on holiday. It was crazy. But then the last days, it got a bit better. And also because you spend a lot of time with yourself and yeah, you're heartbroken, you have no one to talk to. So it's literally just you and your thoughts. And after the first difficult days, I did rent a car to explore the islands. And then I was like, you know what, fuck it. I don't even need a guy on this fucking holiday. Because everything I would do with him, probably I would do also alone. I could do alone. It's just you don't have the company, but I just could rent a car by myself and explore. And in the end, it wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
But the first days, ooh.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it just happened too, so it was fresh.
Yeah, and I wasn't prepared for this because, like I said, it was not a destination to go alone. But I think that's made it extra challenging because, like you said in the beginning, you can, of course, like go to hostels and meet people. And there's so many ways to kind of fill in your trip. But this was so unexpected. And this was not the type of situation that I would normally go to alone. So I think it made me even stronger in the end. And now if I want to go on like this type of holiday where there's only couples, but I just want to go for the vibes, I don't even care anymore because I've done that heartbroken, you know?
Yeah,
it was crazy. So yeah, that was my definitely my saddest solo travel moment.
Well, this kind of goes great for the next question. What has solo traveling taught you about life and yourself?
Yeah, I think for me, through solo traveling, it made me like super confident. And also it forces you to kind of make decisions. And that's something that sometimes I struggle with if I'm like tired or overwhelmed. But yeah, if you're alone, there's no one that's going to make decisions for you. So it's like you have to do it yourself. And also what I've learned is that sometimes I was also the type of person that would say, oh, it's not for me. But I just learned that maybe the way I spent my days were not for me, or maybe the area that I stayed in was not for me. So I do feel if you have like a bad experience somewhere, or it's just not what you expected, it's always the easier option to say it's not for me. But I think you should just look at ways to make it something for you. And then on the next trip, you take that with you. I should do it differently to make it something for you. I feel like it's always so easy to kind of
push something aside.
Exactly.
If it's uncomfortable.
Yes. But also for me, that made me realize that I could still enjoy it. It was the right decision, but I just had to do it differently. So I kind of learned to manage my own expectations.
So basically solo traveling taught you about confidence and if something doesn't work out the way you planned, you can learn from that and use that going forward.
Thank you.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I would say for me, you made a really good point. Solo traveling definitely builds confidence. Mm-hmm. Because if you can go somewhere to another country and figure it out, like, you, no one can tell you anything else. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't, like, what? I just went to a whole another country by myself. What did you do? You know?
Seriously.
So, and it literally, you learn so much about yourself. Mm-hmm. Because you have all this time to just, like, go within. You have no one else that you can, like, blame for something or say, oh, this person made me feel this way or this person. No, you're just with yourself. Mm-hmm. So you can find out what you really love. You can find out what you really hate. You just have the opportunity to really just remember who you are. Mm-hmm. So I would most definitely recommend everyone to, like, do it at least once. Mm-hmm. If it's literally just the next town over, go by yourself, sit by yourself, be with yourself, like, and just, like, have the experience. Mm-hmm. Just have it.
Absolutely. And if you think of moving abroad, you should most definitely go on a solo trip first.
Absolutely.
And not only go on, like, these holiday things, but really go for a longer period, book like an Airbnb, act as you live in the place. Mm-hmm.
That is going to help you so much if you are thinking of moving abroad, because that will literally, like, tell you so much. Like, I think the fact that I traveled so much by myself all over the world, that literally made moving to a whole other country so much easier. Mm-hmm. Because I kind of already had that foundation of what it's like to be somewhere new and not know anyone or anything. But when I was traveling, it was just, like, only for a short time. So it's different when it's for, like, ever.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. And I also think, for example, if you only go with people to a place and then move abroad alone, that's just, the step is too big, you know? You need,
that's a big step,
something in between.
Absolutely.
If you're thinking of ever moving abroad.
Yeah. Just to help you to ease into the whole journey. That will definitely support you. For sure. Okay. Well, I guess that was pretty much the advice. But
I think that really leans into the next episode about, if you're scared to travel alone, like, what advice do we have? Baby steps, literally, like, just build up the confidence.
Yeah, I think you just have to take the leap.
I mean, the first step is always the most scary. Even if you go, for example, to just a town in your home country alone. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's also how I started, basically, because when I was 18, I moved to another city in the Netherlands alone. So that's kind of the first step that I took. But you can also, of course, like, go on a solo trip just to a town nearby, go, like, for 2 days just to try it out. And I think from there you will evolve and always go, like, a little step further. For me, it was going to Lisbon alone, and then after that I was like, can also go alone to places.
If you do decide to go outside of your country, and if you're not comfortable at staying at hostels, you can get your own Airbnb or get your own hotel room. But, like, go on the platforms like Meetup and use that to meet people while you're there.
Yeah.
But give yourself at least a day or two just by yourself. Mm-hmm. So you can really be with yourself.
Yeah. And also, if you want to go on a solo trip and not meet people, that's also fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you have to do that. It can be nice, but it's not. I mean, you're the boss on your solo trip, so you can fill it in the way that you want to. And what also really helped me with my solo trips in Lisbon, I'm not really a fan of hostels because I'm a bad sleeper. I need, like, silence, and I was like, I just can't, because I've slept in hostels with my friends, like, on school trips and stuff. So I knew already, like, it's gonna cause me some trouble. So when I would go alone on trips, like later on, I would just book a shared Airbnb. So you have still your own room. You have a little more privacy. But then if there's something that you're unsure about or you're anxious or something, there's always people in the house. Because, for example, my first trip, I didn't know how the key works, because in Portugal, the keys, usually they are a bit
long.
Yeah, long and different, just different than I was used to. So I wasn't sure if I did it right. So I could just knock on the door of someone
else. Yeah,
and be like, hey, can you help me out?
Yeah.
So I think that's also a great step in between hostels and going fully alone.
Yeah, and they also have these co-living places as well now.
Yes, but they're really expensive.
Are they?
Yeah.
But so that's another, it's like a, it's kind of like a hostel, but you have your own room.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they also have co-work spaces, I heard.
You can stay at a co-working?
No, they have like down...
Oh, you mean the co-living. They have co-working spaces in the... gotcha.
In the building.
Gotcha.
Yeah, okay. It's not like you're sleeping at your workspace, no.
Okay, I was like, what?
So if you want to work on your trip, I think that's great.
Yeah, a lot of digital nomads, they do the co-living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, great tip. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us in this episode. We hope that you gained something from us that can support you in your journey in moving abroad or just
traveling
solo. Traveling. All right, guys. Well, thank you again. And remember to like, share, and subscribe. And we will see you in the next one. And this is from Lisbon with love.
Ciao.
Cheers.
Thanks for spending this time with us.
And for listening to our stories, our laughs, and a few of our growing pains.
If this episode resonated with you, share it with someone who needs a little Lisbon love in their life.
And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. It helps more hearts find our little corner of the world. From all of us,
from Lisbon with love.